Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Gary Warren, who's the owner, head brewer, and operator of Lehigh Valley Kombucha. Gary, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Thank you, Mike.
So for my listeners who are thinking right now, what the heck is kombucha? Can you give us a brief description of it and its origins?
It's definitely one of the main challenges of owning a kombucha company is just explaining what the heck is kombucha. It has a strange name. The name goes back, a few thousand years, but it's actually pretty basic. It's just fermented tea. We brew organic green and black tea in specific quantities. We add organic sugar, and then we sit it on a shelf for 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the season, any between 65 and 85 degrees, and it ferments. Kombucha is made with specific bacteria and yeast combinations that ferment it in a certain way, and it turns out delicious.
Now, do you put your own yeast in, or is it natural yeast occurring in nature?
A lot of times when you ferment things, you take some from the previous batch and use it to ferment. Like, for example, if you're going to make your own yogurt, you need a little bit of finished yogurt to take over your new raw ingredients. Same thing with kombucha. We take a little bit of the previous batch and use it as starter for the next batch. So the bacteria is somewhat generational. It just colonizes each new container of sweetened tea that we put it in.
And how would you describe the taste of kombucha?
It's actually a challenging question, too. The best I've had at explaining it to people is imagine apple cider, but in different flavors. So we have a mango kombucha, so imagine mango cider. That's not a very great, it's not a very definitive response, but it does get across the point. You know, the point is that kombucha has sort of a bitey, fermented flavor that is pretty unique. The only thing that's easily compared to is cider.
Now, we're talking about different types of flavor here, but kombucha is known for having health benefits as well.
For sure. The main health benefit of kombucha is that it's probiotic. So being made with these specific strains of bacteria, it puts healthy bacteria back in your digestive system, starting from your mouth and throat and esophagus and into your stomach. And that bacteria being in your stomach and helping to promote good flora in your digestive system has beneficial effects that trickle out to the rest of your body. It's high in B vitamins and antioxidants. It helps to boost your immune system. It has a detoxifying effect on your body. I work really hard to not get involved in making medical claims. Everybody these days seems to be pretty concerned about their health in various ways. And sometimes customers come to me and they're essentially looking for almost like a cure. And I work hard to not make any promises along those lines. I'm certainly not in any professional capacity to make health recommendations for people. But I can say that I've had specific customers that have told me that they've felt benefits. For example, older people sometimes will tell me that they feel an increase in their energy level. I've had people tell me that their arthritis or their rheumatism or their achy joints have experienced some relief. I've had a couple of customers who have skin disorders that have shown evidence of clearing up from kombucha.
And how did you get started yourself? Was this kind of a hobby that you got into making your own and then decided that you wanted to start making it for other people?
Well, I went through a period around 2007-ish where I was getting healthier, learning more about eating better. And as part of that, I went to a workshop where a woman was showing people how to make kombucha. She gave all of us in attendance the things we would need to make our own kombucha at home. So I started making it at home. I really enjoyed it. I was making a few gallons a week. I started sharing it with people. I would bring it to, gatherings or holidays. People all seemed to like it. So the next thing that I did was Bethlehem has an annual veg fest in Southside Bethlehem, and I was able to get a one-day health license to sell the kombucha that I was making. So that was the first time that I was able to engage the larger public in this area, and I had really, really great days. I did veg fest for 3-4 years in a row, and every year I brought upwards of 30 gallons of kombucha and sold all of it, and everybody loved it. And it really gave me a sense that the public was ready for a local kombucha company.
How has the Lehigh Valley embraced the idea of kombucha? I know there might be other places, whether it's California or New York or Philadelphia, maybe more metropolitan areas, that this has been available for a while. Is this something that people have experienced elsewhere and they're happy to have here now?
It seems that way. I became licensed in 2016. My main sales has always been through our Facebook page, Lehigh Valley Kombucha. People order directly through that page and we bottle their orders and then either deliver to them or they come pick up their order. I have noticed a lot more people hearing the word, being familiar with the term, being excited to see a local company like me. I have seen a lot of reception. This year, I kind of went out on a limb and I'm in five different farmers markets around the area. And every market, everybody seems to enjoy it. I mean, again, a large part of my job as a kombucha business owner is just chipping away at that general ignorance of people not knowing what kombucha is. And I've done a good job of that. All the markets receive us well. In general, if someone's willing to try kombucha, I would say 80% of people are surprisingly happy with it and say, wow, I'd like to get more of that.
Now, do you think there's a difference between some of the more mass-produced kombucha that you might see in supermarkets, or at least starting to see in supermarkets, versus the things that are handcrafted by yourself and other people like you?
It's a good question. It happens a lot at farmers markets where someone will come up and they'll say, I tried kombucha in the store. I thought that it'd be something good for me. I didn't like it. And then they taste some of ours and they say, now I like yours much, much better. Why is that? And the kombucha recipe is pretty standard. I don't think that our company is doing anything specifically different than any of the mass-produced companies. I just think it's a question of freshness. And that's kind of common sense if you think about it. You know, like the tomato that you get from a farmer's market is going to be way tastier than the tomato you get from the grocery store. And why is that? Because the tomato from the farmer's market was local and just picked a day ago, as opposed to when was the tomato in the grocery store picked? You know, weeks ago, probably. So I think it's a question of freshness. Other than that, I'm just glad in general to see kombucha becoming more mainstream. I'm certainly in debt to the mass-produced companies that are available throughout the country. They've certainly made the market, and I'm standing on their shoulders. But I think that across the board, there's an extreme advantage to local products just in terms of freshness and quality.
I know you mentioned kombucha is a fermented beverage with bacteria. And I think in our germ-averse culture, sometimes people feel a little skittish about the idea of bacteria being in something. So what would your response be to people like that?
It's true that when I say bacteria, people are generally concerned, like, what does that mean? But it's a fact that our bodies, in fact, almost our entire world is made up of billions of minuscule bacteria. So, in fact, kombucha is very easy to brew. There's certainly no health concerns about it. The only thing that I've ever seen that could go wrong with someone drinking kombucha is if they overdo it. Sometimes I get a customer who tastes some at the market, buys a bottle, brings it home, and they'll come back next week and say, I drank the whole bottle in a day, and oh my goodness. And I just say, well, you know, if something's new to your body, take it slow. Drink a couple ounces today, a couple ounces tomorrow, and see.
If you had that much coffee or
for
wine.
For sure, yeah. It's hard because kombucha is so good. Of course, you want to drink as much as you can. But yeah, we live in a really, like, sterilized culture. I mean, I'm a child of the 80s. Every time I had a sniffle, I was given 10 days of amoxicillin. So for sure, our bodies are very sterilized. We could all use a lot more probiotics in our diet. Kombucha can provide that. And in my experience and anybody that I've spoken to, any other kombucha company owners, it's safe.
Gary, tell me about some of the flavors of kombucha that you make and maybe some that you're thinking of making down the road here.
Sure. The first flavor that I made was pineapple ginger. We juice pineapples, we juice raw ginger root and add it in specific ratios. We branched out in 2016 and started getting flavor ingredients from local farms. We got some rhubarb from Crooked Row Farm in New Tripoli. We got peaches from Shockery Ridge Apiary. This year we're getting peppers from Epic Acre Farm. Our entire list of flavors, so pineapple ginger, we make a mango. We make a strawberry rhubarb. We make blackberry. We make hot pepper lime. We make peach. We make grapefruit. And we make cranberry. And 90% of the time, those are all made from whole organic fruits. One of the exceptions is cranberry. We're buying organic cranberry juice that is store-bought just because juicing cranberries can be really complicated. But in almost all cases, it's whole organic fruits that we either juice or puree, and that, you know, blackberries, just pureed blackberries.
And if people want to find your kombucha, there are a couple ways to do it.
The main way to find kombucha and the main way that we interact with our customers is through our Facebook page, which, again, is Lehigh Valley Kombucha. Once a week, I put up a post that starts with "order here" in big capital letters. It explains flavors and sizes and prices and where to pick it up if you want to pick it up, what to do if you want it delivered. People comment on that post and tell us what they'd like to order: a gallon of blackberry, 3 wine bottles of pineapple ginger, etc. We'll send you a confirmation back saying we got your order, and then we bottle on Sundays, and you get your order on Sunday.
And also a couple farmers markets too, you said, right?
Yeah, the farmers markets that we're in on Thursday afternoon, there's the Lehigh Farmers Market, which is at Campus Square on Morton Street. Thursday evenings in Mukunji at Mukunji Memorial Park. Saturday mornings, we're at Trexlertown Farmers Market at the Velodrome. And we're at the Rose Garden Farmers Market in Northside Bethlehem. And then on Sundays, we're at the Saucon Valley Farmers Market in Hellertown.
Busy business.
Yeah, it's been a big leap forward. Our main thing is we sell gallons of kombucha. I noticed a long time ago that people who like kombucha tend to want to drink some every day. Most companies sell pint bottles and that's it. So every day you want some kombucha, you got to go to the store and buy another pint bottle. Usually they're $4 a piece. So we upped that. We sell gallon bottles for $20. So it's a little more affordable. Well, it certainly gives you a greater quantity.
And your people can have it all week long, which
and
is
they,
great.
They just reach in their fridge and pour themselves a glass, and it's much easier.
So, Gary, thanks for your time. Thanks for joining us here on WDIY. Best of luck with your business.
Thanks very much, Mike.
I'm Mike Drabenstad, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.